Warning, this podcast is intended for mature audiences only. The podcast will contain adult language and subject matter. It is not suitable for all listeners and ages. Your personal discretion is advised.
Feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme, get on up, because it is news shoe time. Welcome back, everybody. Joining me as always, the Chewy to my Luke, or other way. I don't really care, Ben. I like Chewy or Han, either way. And I don't really care about Star Wars, but you're it, buddy.
But the one thing they know from Star Wars is Han shot first.
You're goddamn right he did. He also took a great shot in Indiana Jones, that Han Solo.
I don't know why every time you introduce me, I always, like, wave. Nobody can see
you
me.
Wave?
I just wave every time. I don't know why.
I love that about you. But I never knew. So it's just another thing for me to store away in my Ben locket that is deep in my soul, that you wave at our listeners. that's fun. Well, we talked at length about this before the show, but I think let's real quick say today was a very big day in baseball. When you listen to this, it will have already happened. Today was Derek Jeter's last baseball game. There was a no-hitter. We also said goodbye to Paul Konerko. There was lots of wonderful baseball things happening today, and that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, with Jeter in particular, he's always been my favorite player in Major League Baseball. So, I'm still kind of in that state of shock to where I'm like, wow, I watched him for the last time, and it's hard because it's a part of my childhood that's just going away now, because I've always watched Jeter ever since I was, a wee little lad.
lad.
And it's hard, to see him go, but, I hope that Jeter has, a great life, beyond baseball, and he's done so much inside of the game already. I mean, being a positive role model off and on the field and being a model of consistency as well. But, let's also in the same sense not forget about Paul Konerko, who's also done tremendous things in Chicago with the White Sox. And he also was honored today by his team. So, yeah, and then going on to the no-hitter by Jordan Zimmermann of the Nationals, that catch by, he was a rookie too, Steven Sosa. I believe the Nationals put him in just for a defensive replacement. And he makes probably the most spectacular catch of the season. Preserve Zimmermann's no-hitter.
Yeah, it was impressive. You should really, if you don't, maybe I will put it on the site. I'll have to make a mental note. Try to remind me, Ben, to put that catch on the site, because it's awesome. It's really, truly, it'll be shown for a long time, I imagine. It was pretty cool. But anyways, baseball, sports go sports. That's actually probably the most we've ever talked about sports on this show, so, milestone, I guess.
Aside from Jay Cutler having 99 problems and his defense being all of them.
Jay Cutler. The Packers smoked the Bears today. You know what was funny? So this morning, this weekend, my family, we went to stay at this resort way out on the Illinois-Iowa border in a town called Galena. Beautiful little place. It's where Ulysses S. Grant was born and raised. And it's a cool little place. And we were there, and this morning on the scroll bar of ESPN, it said Brewers and Packers renew rivalry. And I was like, what do you mean renew? It's not like they don't see each other twice a year every year. That sort of doesn't make
sense. You mean Bears?
Whatever. Same difference. What did I say?
You said Brewers.
Good. The Packers should play the Brewers. They should fight to the death. In which the Packers would win easily.
I'd love to see TJ Lang try to pitch or have Aaron Rodgers, in the outfield. Or have, Jonathan Lucroy be the quarterback. I don't know.
That'd be sweet. But anyway, Jay Cutler sucks. The Bears re-signing Jay Cutler was the best offseason decision the Packers made. I've been telling everybody that because I think it's just awesomely true. Anyways, no more sports. No more sports.
So you were at this resort with your family?
Yep. So
nice.
To finish that, so I was at this resort with my family this weekend, and that was very nice. What was weird was that we were, I thought because we were in sort of a town that was sort of a tourist place, but there was very little to no cell phone reception, pretty much everywhere. We had Wi-Fi when we were in the townhome that we rented. So that was fine, so I could, like, check things and look at things. But for the most part, I was sort of cut off from the universe. Like, I sent you a text this morning at probably 8:30, or whenever you sent me a text to say you were up and ready to podcast, and I was like, oh, well, I'm in Iowa, so I will, you know, be home in a couple hours. You got it only because I sent you another text, and it, like, refreshed after hours of trying to send it to you. Because driving through the eastern part, or the western part of Illinois, is a fucking barren wasteland of nothing.
Yeah, because we had had problems with that before when I switched phones, and Lou wasn't getting my text. I'm like, oh, God, the same thing happening again. Because I had sent you some text throughout the week, and I didn't know if that was the same problem.
No, no, it was just that we were in fucking the middle of nowhere. But it was kind of nice. It is nice to sort of just remove yourself from, so like I didn't do anything really on social media, and I didn't really use the internet at all, and it was just kind of nice to just sort of remove yourself and do a little self-reflection on the rocking chair in the back porch. And we also there were these little I'm not sure what exactly they were, but for the sake of this I'll just call them pine nuts. So these big giant nuts that are like wrapped around this green, it's like encased in this green, it's almost like a fruit. Actually, it is probably a fruit, but you can't eat it. But the nut inside is what you eat. So we found an old baseball bat in this, for whatever reason, there was a baseball bat in this townhouse. And my brother-in-law and dad and I were sitting in the front yard this morning for like an hour playing baseball with these things that were falling off the trees. And what would happen is if you got it on the sweet spot, all the fruit around the giant pit would explode, and the pit would stay true like a baseball. So if you threw a good pitch and you caught it on the right spot of the bat, you'd have to get the fuck out of the way, otherwise you'd get hit with this giant pit. But it was really fun. I had a great time. We went golfing on this really fancy, elegant golf course on Saturday, and it was just really nice. It was a very nice time. I enjoyed it mucho. Mucho gracias. Yes.
Well, it sounds like a pretty nice time. I mean, with the exploding fruit and everything.
The exploding fruit was really fun. You would have enjoyed the exploding fruit part. But yeah, so that happened. One more sports thing that I'd like to celebrate, Ben. Today also ended the fantasy baseball season. I love baseball. Fantasy baseball sucks asshole.
I'm assuming you were in a league?
Yes, against my better judgment. I didn't want to do it. A friend of mine really needed somebody. I plan on tomorrow writing him a formal letter removing myself from the league because they take it so insanely seriously. They draft minor league players that they can, like, have rights to for 3 years. It's really weird, and I hate it. So, I'm out.
Sounds a little extreme.
I just don't like fantasy baseball. I just don't like it. It isn't the same to me. Like, I have Jordan Zimmermann, who threw a no-hitter today, but he didn't really score me that many points. Like, that's just how fantasy baseball is. Like, because he didn't strike out a ton of people, so, you know, it's done. I hate fantasy baseball. That's all I wanted to say, really.
Well, quick note on that. A couple of years ago, when I was still playing when I was playing fantasy baseball still, I had Mark Burley when he threw his perfect game.
Yeah.
Didn't count, because apparently the league that I was in had an innings limit on your starters.
Yes.
And I apparently had hit that.
The innings limit is something that I loathe entirely.
So yeah, Mark Burley's perfect game did not count for me.
Congratulations. Welcome to fantasy baseball.
So, and that's why I don't play fantasy sports at all. They're just all based on luck.
Yeah.
I mean.
Speaking of luck, let's talk about story number one, Ben. So story number one. Slot machine saves German gambler as police arrive. Ben, you should probably tell this because I didn't understand it. I had to have you explain it to me, so I shouldn't be the one to break this down.
All right, so a gambler in Germany was saved from prison by a one-armed bandit. I cannot talk today.
You're having problems. It's okay. Power through.
So Basically, last Thursday, two officers, they were carrying out routine checks at an arcade in the western city of Bochum, which I'm assuming that's somewhere near Berlin. They discovered that a man was playing a slot machine, that he was facing an arrest warrant. He was ordered to pay $910, which is 710 euros, or go to prison for 71 days after resisting police during a previous incident. Well, lucky enough for this guy, playing the slots, he won $1,300, which is about 1,000 euros, and was able to pay his fine on the spot in cash. So, what are the odds of that?
Classic Bertolt. That's my default German name. I love the name Bertolt. Yeah, this is awesome. So, when I read it, at first it didn't make sense, because it's worded kind of oddly, the actual article. But, yeah, man, he got a ticket, he never paid it, and as he was being arrested, he won a slot machine. That shit is just the best.
And the police were like, Hans, next time we'll get you, Hans.
This could go one of two ways. He could use this story to become some sort of weird media sensation. He could write a book. He could make a movie about his story. Or it could go the other way, where he just develops a horrible gambling problem.
Or it could be a movie about his eventual gambling problem.
Well,
so he combined two into one.
But at that point, someone else will write it, because he'll be either dead in a gutter or drunk in a gutter somewhere, and no one will know where he is.
My chances are drunk in a gutter because it is Germany.
Classic Bertolt.
See, I always think Hans. That's my default.
Hans is a good one. Fritz. I love Fritz. That's a great one. There are some fun German names that I enjoy quite a bit. But this is awesome. Timing is everything. Like, if you win $1,000, that's pretty awesome to begin with. But when you win $1,000 the moment before you owe the police that money, that's just legendary.
And he still has money, left over to spend for himself.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not like he spent all of that money paying the fine. Yeah. He still has some money left over,
which he immediately
that's a win-win.
Pissed away on hookers and booze.
Maybe. I don't know this man's life story.
I mean, he's German, so I assume that that's what all the Germans do.
Or he just brought a bunch of pretzels.
That's so racist of you, then. Wait, can you be racist? Is German a race? Isn't it just a nationality? Never mind.
Germans is just a... That's
you're just
Germany.
You're just being a nationalist.
Yes, because Germany, I mean, it's not any different. The people are still the same. I don't know.
Well, they're white.
Yes.
They're white people. That's our race. They're Caucasian. That's the race. So, yeah.
They're just nationality is different. Like,
right.
We're Americans and they're Germans.
Correct. So you're being a nationalist. You're being, what's the other one I'm looking for?
Yes.
There's a fun way to call what we're talking about our differences. Where you were insensitive to our differences, Ben. The difference of them making excellent pretzels. So I guess I don't know what I'm talking about.
But if this man went to Vegas, what do you think he'd win?
Probably
but
nothing.
Of course, if he goes by himself just to play, he won't win anything. But if the police are after him, he might win like $30 million.
I mean, I doubt it. You can only get so lucky in life, Ben. That's everyone knows that. There's only so much luck to go around, you see. So, you know, you gotta take it where you can get it. I think he got very lucky, is what I think. And I think that if he were to get that lucky again, we should all be so lucky.
If you had to guess, make up a story of what his next lucky adventure would be, what would it be, Lou?
Immediately after he pays off the police officers, he gets up, heads to the back of the arcade, because this isn't a casino, it's an arcade. He heads to the back of the arcade, pees in the corner, because there's no bathroom in an arcade, ever. I've never been in an arcade where there's a bathroom. So he pees in the corner, and then he goes and walks down the street and hands pretty ladies money, and that's it.
Well, I guess it's a win-win for everybody in that situation.
Wait.
Except for the homeless man he peed on.
Yeah, there was probably a homeless man. Again, German people. Homeless, pretzel, wall peers. So thank God Germany listens to the podcast, Ben. Speaking of which, that's a great segue into something I should have talked about at the start of the show. Ben, this week we were inundated with new and exciting countries listening to the podcast.
Yeah, we had a few. I mean, we saw returns from Australia, in the UK, and Mexico. But we got some new countries this week. We got Kuwait, Thailand, Austria, South Africa, and I believe Ireland.
So, hooray for Ireland! That's where my family comes from.
So we welcome you all to the show.
Thanks for coming. Now, Ben, when I saw all of these, if you have the site statistics open, I'd love for you to check out what people have been searching for when they find our show.
I can find that for you.
Oh, good. If you already have it open, that would save me. I'm getting into it, but if you already have it open, I would love, for you to read off some of the excellent search engine terms that lead people from other countries to our site. It's breathtaking is what it is. I think that we're perverts.
Maybe, yes, I don't know.
I think we're probably perverts.
And probably would be arrested in 30 other countries.
I would have to say yes to that.
So, search engine search terms. Since last week, there were 10 unknown search terms, which is always fun. It just literally says unknown.
Yeah, so that's always interesting.
One about Wesley Snipes jogging.
Wesley Snipes jogging.
One called Sex Cow Owns, O-U-N-S. I don't even want to know what that is.
Yeah.
And then 133B-Cow.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. Now, some of the other... Now, Crystal Metheny is right at the top, so that name is very popular. The other ones that I liked were Sperm on Skirts.
I'm looking at that right now.
Mature and Dog Sex. Someone searched for clothes like hand shoes and horse grenades. What the fuck is that all about?
I don't know.
Beaver fucker? www.ninespanking.com? How did that get to us?
I love the last one.
The last one is the best one.
Cow puns for every situation.
Cow puns for every situation. Ben, I blame you for that. And then 129 unknown search terms. That's how bad they are.
I think the one that I don't get is future and past guest Kimberly McFerrin.
Yeah.
Is Kimberly McFerrin Equinox?
Well, now that's because that's the establishment where she works.
Oh.
Which is weird. I told her that, though. I let her know that it was on there because I saw that the other day and went, whoa.
And I didn't know if that was like with the car or no. like a
she works at car? She works at a gym called Equinox.
Okay,
so that's the deal there.
The one that still gets me though is Maria Dana Riverview Machine.
Yeah, that one was one from a while ago, and I don't get that. I don't because that name doesn't sound familiar. So, no. I'm not sure how that happened. But Sperm on Skirts is one that I'm intrigued by.
Okay, the one below Crystal Methane is just a bunch of dots.
It's a bunch of underscores, isn't it?
Mm-mm.
Is it just dots?
It's a bunch of dots.
Classic.
So I'm thinking somebody who was either using Morse code or a blind person that was using Braille on a touchscreen monitor.
Yeah.
That's
fun.
But I think my favorite one still has to be somebody actually went to our site and tried to find close, like, hand shoes and horse grenades.
That's amazing. Who would look for such things?
Because it's, you know, close, like, hand grenades and horseshoes.
Right.
Not hand shoes and horse grenades. I messed that up.
So someone else is just as oddly informed as you are, Ben.
That is amazing. But cow puns for every situation.
That should make you proud. Do you feel like your work has now been vindicated, Ben?
I do. I feel like I can retire at a young age, and no, I won't.
No, you'll never be able to retire. Don't be foolish. It's
it's but in the past cool. 30 days, in the past 30 days is where sperm on skirts came from.
Sperm on skirts. Pretty funny shit. I like it. Muchos gracias. That didn't make sense. But yeah, so thank you for finding us, I guess, anyways. You know, even if you are searching for super duper duper perverse shit. Thanks,
anyways. But, and I would like to, while we're on this topic, try to find out what our top stories were in the past 7 days, if that would load for me. But, I know a lot of the ones with Kimberly have been popular.
Yeah, she's very popular. She's very likable. As it turns out, and she makes for good radio.
Nah, for some reason it doesn't want to
all
work.
Right. Well, that's not
it's
important.
Not a big deal.
Yeah, it's yeah. But yeah. So thanks for finding us, anyways. And if it's if this is a soldier overseas listening in Kuwait, I hope that this makes you smile. You know, if nothing else, I hope that this gives you a laugh. I can't imagine that a natural born resident of Kuwait would listen to this and be like, "Oh God, I totally get those problems."
Oh no, I found it. I found it.
Okay.
So our most popular story in the past week was the one about cow puns.
Jesus Christ, Ben. You're a national treasure in some country because of cow puns.
And get this, the second most popular story was Kimberly McFerrin in the Curse of the Power episode. So people love our puns and
I like
love
that
Kimberly,
people are
so.
Going in and listening to old ones. That makes me happy. I'm not really sure why that, but I'm happy to take it. You know, the more the merrier. I hope people are liking it. Well, I think this next story is sure to get us some fun searches. The headline reads, "Dead Rocker Found Dead Again." Essentially, how this story breaks down is a Canadian rock star. A Canadian rock star, who was in, I guess I shouldn't say rock star, but he definitely was, he was in a rock band, a fairly popular rock band. Now, his name was Glenn Miller, and, he was found dead this week in France. But the problem with that is that he already died in 2011. This story is wonderful, because they're claiming that the Miller who just died, of course, the Glenn Miller who just died, he came to the village, around 4 years ago, which would kind of add up. So the question is, Ben, do you think that Glenn Miller was so hot in Canada that he faked his own death so that he could move to France and let people know that he was a Canadian rocker for 4 years?
Why not just move to Quebec? I mean, that's basically France instead of Canada.
Well, maybe that's why he went to France, because he could already speak Francois, eh? So it's
Parlez-vous français, eh?
Yeah. Now, apparently, he was born in England, though, according to the band. So the original Glenn Miller, the Canadian rock star, was, like I said, he was born in England. So it's not out of the question for him to want to go back to Europe. However, it's one of two things. Either there's a Glenn Miller imposter, like, it was, maybe this is like a slip-up of, like, of witness protection, like the witness protection program, where, like, they gave him a new identity of a guy who had died, and they didn't think anyone would notice, except this one time it was accidentally a Canadian rock star.
I find that hard to believe, because I feel if it was somebody popular, you would avoid that.
Do you know how deep the underground crime scene goes in Canada, Ben? Like, 8 to 10 inches.
Is that all?
Hey, that's like, you know, that's like lowering your shed a little bit and then laying some concrete and then having your meetings in there.
Lou, you know what a Canadian protest is? Somebody holding up a sign that says, "I am a little upset right now."
Yeah, that's probably
and that's like
true.
The biggest. That's like the biggest riot in Canada. I mean, they honestly might have, you know, not looked at somebody. I mean, and somebody would have felt bad. That's the worst fatality they've ever had in Canada. Somebody felt bad about something.
Yeah. Now the story does go on. I haven't finished the story yet. So now the second Mr. Miller, supposedly now they have proof that he was actually a man named George Miller, who would sell vintage clothing and play guitar in local pubs. So basically, he's just a drifter who stole some Canadian rock star's identity and started a new life in France. Ben, do you feel deceived by a one Mr. Glenn Miller, a.k.a. George Miller?
Well, when I first heard Glenn Miller, I'm like, the big band guy?
Yeah.
And then I realized, probably not.
Close, but no.
And then I heard George Miller, and I thought George Michael, which made me think of Arrested Development.
Yeah, that's understandable. You know that you should think of George Michael as the musician, right? You know that that's really where you should probably think of it first, because that joke is only funny because of George Michael, the actual musician.
Yeah. Yeah, I should.
Come on, Ben.
My mind is Arrested Development. But no, I do feel deceived by this Mr. George Miller, even though he's dead now.
That's true.
So, I'll shake my fist angrily at him.
How dare you, Mr. Miller? And if that's your real name, maybe, again, I still like the witness protection idea. But anyways, this was funny to me. I really love the headline. This is a headline that, like, could definitely have been in a real headline or some shit I just made up. Because it is a really funny headline. But turns out, wasn't really him, even though he led everyone to believe he was. I think I'm going to try that when I get to be about 62, Ben.
But, I mean, the sad thing is the man was killed. He didn't just die. He was killed.
Right.
He was found
lying.
That's what
I'm saying. Witness protection program. It broke down. Jack Bauer could not get there in time.
He's too busy filming the episode of 24.
Yeah. Yeah, that story definitely tickled my fancy this week. I had a good giggle about it. Let me rephrase that. I had a good giggle about the first half of it. The second half of it, I got mad about. So I was like, well, that's not as fun then. It was just some fucking English imposter.
Yeah, the thing with it is I had to read through it a few times and understand, like, oh, okay, I get it now.
Yeah.
It's not something you can just read once, but like, I get the point of it because you might miss something.
Well, Ben, enough of this one-trick pony shit. How about you introduce everybody to a quick round of Power News Chew?
Of Power News Chew. Well, I mean, we can take our time with this one because these are some pretty good stories. So, what this article is called is 5 Stories in One. Called This Week in Dumb Crime. The first one is a kilt-wearing thief. So a man in a kilt was accused of electronics theft. So Daniel Ducret, a 37-year-old man of Oregon, walked into a Fry's Electronics in Wilsonville and was allegedly caught for stuffing electronics into a pouch. I don't know the type of pouch this was.
Kilt pouch. It's like a little leather pouch, and then there's little bird feathers on them. Like they have little decorations for individual kilts.
Yeah, I either thought it was a kilt pouch, or I thought it was like a fanny pack. I wasn't sure.
I'm gonna hope it wasn't a fanny pack, but it might have been a fanny pack. I won't lie to you.
It might have been a fanny pack. Yeah. So Lou, looking at this man, he just looks like the utmost, you know,
he
quality
looks like
of society.
The type of guy who would walk into an electronics store and try to steal shit in his kilt. I mean, really, it's the best possible way to describe this dude.
He was accused of, and keep in mind, this is a 37-year-old man, was accused of swiping a toy helicopter and other items. They didn't say what those other items were.
That is a hell of a kilt pouch.
Yeah, if you can hold a toy helicopter. I don't know if it's like one of those ones with, like, the remote-controlled ones, or if it's, like, a small one. I don't know what it is, but
is he also a kangaroo?
Maybe. Because, unlike women, you know, he has a penis, so that...
Good point.
That airplane's probably going to be hitting there.
This guy... I mean, we have so many dumb criminals, but this is like, okay... At least he's trying to be sneaky. Like, he's not trying to, like, hold up the electronics store. He's, like, trying to sneakily shoplift. But it's like, if a dude walks into any establishment wearing a kilt that isn't, like, a specifically Scottish, English, or Irish event, even though they shouldn't really be worn at Irish places, but they always are. You just, then it's okay. Anywhere else, it's just, and I have a really good friend named Jeff who wears kilts, and I love him to death, but he's a genuine 100% Scotsman. So it's understandable and acceptable because he wears them as part of who he is as a person. He embraces his Scottish heritage very much so, and I love that about him. However, that's the only time it's acceptable, in my opinion. If you walk into an electronics store wearing a kilt just on a Sunday morn, and you're sneakily, and again, you're sneakily hanging out by helicopters with your pelvis directly in front of them, that's going to arouse suspicion.
Is that a helicopter in your pants, or you're just happy to see
them? Yeah.
Or your kilt, actually.
Kilts are easier to lift than pants.
But apparently the kilt had been modified with the special pouches to help this man steal the toy helicopter and the other items.
This should not be surprising to anyone.
No. What's hilarious is a guy, the owner of Stumptown Kilt inside of Wilsonville, Oregon, says that it gives kilts a bad name. I don't think there's a graceful way to stick stuff inside a kilt, he told the station, which is fucking hilarious to me, honestly. That he thinks that this man who's trying to steal things in a kilt gives kilts a bad name. No, I don't think they do. I don't think he does, because in countries like Scotland, where kilts are a prominent sign of, you know, I don't know, heritage, you know, unless you're burning a kilt, I mean, I don't think it's going to give it a bad name.
No, I think
it reflects more on the person than it does the clothes, because I could walk into a store with, you know, cargo shorts and have all those pockets and start sticking stuff in there. Is that getting cargo shorts a bad name? No.
But I don't know how to tell you this. Cargo shorts already have a bad name.
That's aside the point.
Oh, cargo shorts.
But I just brought that up because of all the pockets they have, you know. No. I think it's more so that of jean shorts that have a bad name than cargo shorts.
It's a can we agree with that? No, jean shorts are definitely worse. Well, for a man, jean shorts are definitely worse. I don't think that's up for debate. Especially cut-off jean shorts for men. Those are typically frowned upon. But that's beside the point. What's important to remember here is that if you plan on stealing things, wearing a kilt is not the best way to keep a low profile. It's really that simple.
All right, so the second story in this lovely, lovely bunch of dumb criminals, Ice Bucket Challenge leads to arrest. So, you know the whole Ice Bucket Challenge, dump it on your head.
I'm familiar.
Bales, yes. I believe we even talked about it, so. So, 20-year-old, I'm not going to try to pronounce his name.
You're not going to try?
Jashaun?
Yeah, Morris? That's perfect. Why wouldn't you try that? That's not that hard. Jashaun.
Not really, but I didn't want to butcher it.
That was perfect. That's exactly what it is. His name is Jashaun Morris.
So 20-year-old Jashaun Morris was hiding from the police, but kind of must have forgot that because he posted a video of himself on YouTube doing the Ice Bucket Challenge. When he was arrested, he allegedly spit on an officer, leading to an assault with an officer with bodily fluid and damage to a police car. I don't know where that came from, but apparently he kicked the police car or hit it or something.
No, it was probably the spit.
Because spit does so much damage to a police car.
I mean, the police can charge you for whatever they want, so why couldn't it just be spit?
And then he was also charged with criminal mischief, resisting arrest, and criminal impersonation.
Well, he probably shouldn't have done that. And he probably shouldn't have done the ALS challenge because, Jesus Christ, man, how stupid are you? Like, seriously? Why would you do that?
If you're going to do it, I mean, don't record it if you're being hunted by the cops.
Yeah, that's just sort of like...
That's asking for
you
it.
Yeah, you deserve. You get what... This is an avoidable tragedy. You're just a fucking stupid person, Jashaun. That was not your best idea, sir.
Because, when it was posted, somebody said that they had recognized him in the video, and then they reported it to the cops, which is hilarious. I don't know why he's hiding from the cops. It doesn't say why.
Yeah, they're vague on that part. I'm not sure what he was wanted for either.
But that's just kind of hilarious to me that he would be not so bright in doing that. Probably not one of his best ideas, to be fairly honest.
Yeah.
So, story number three.
This lady creeps me the fuck out.
Yes. San Mateo County Sheriff's Office. So, Marilyn Hartman, very creepy looking.
She's scary to look at. I feel like she has killed people.
Yeah, she feels like she's out of a Stephen King book.
Yeah, she scares me.
So, Marilyn Hartman, 62 years old, she was arrested last Tuesday for loitering at a Phoenix airport, but here's the real kicker. She had been giving a trespass warning earlier in that month, for attempting to enter a secure area without a ticket. She had been accused multiple times of trying to get on planes without a ticket in California, and on August 4th was arrested for riding a Southwest Airlines flight from San Jose to Los Angeles without a ticket. And they didn't notice that until they landed, and they're like, oh, wait, we have somebody else on the plane.
How the fuck did they not notice that there was one lady just sort of standing there?
I mean, unless she got in through, like, the cargo and invaded everybody else.
How did she get in there?
You have to go through a part in an airport where they scan your ticket or they scan on your phone, and then you're able to go in. So I don't know how she got in. I don't know, maybe she, like, hid in, like, one of those cargo things that has all the bags on it and just was really still. I don't know if this is a really short lady. Maybe she's, like, 4'10" and she was able to fit in. I don't know. But apparently this woman wants some free rides.
I think she's a demon sent from another world to destroy us all.
That's also another really good thing I hadn't thought of.
I mean, and why is she spending so much time in the airports? Good God in heaven.
But what's not clear about the story, and it even mentions this, is how she ended up getting from Los Angeles to Phoenix.
Yeah, that's a good question. She probably snuck on another fucking flight. She got herself inside of a suitcase. Oh, damn.
Yeah, I don't know if she got another flight, if she did this on a Greyhound or something. Maybe she hitchhiked.
You know what, Ben?
I don't know.
She is the final destination. Anyone who's on a flight with her is going to die soon.
Well, that's terrifying, Will.
I'm just saying, look at her, man. She, like, as you look at the picture, man, she's, like, staring into the darkest depths of your soul. She wants to consume your life essence, Ben.
I hear, like, the Exorcist theme playing in the background.
She scares the shit out of me, dude. She's got, like, her little windbreaker on, and it's buttoned all the way up, and she's in fucking Phoenix.
What you don't see is that all the knives that are hidden inside of it and all the blood splotches on the coat itself.
It rains in Phoenix 3 times a year. Why the fuck is she wearing a windbreaker, and why the fuck is it zipped up all the way? It's 100 degrees in Phoenix every day, Ben. She is a demon spawn from hell! Oh my God.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. I mean, I'm telling you, she has knives inside of the windbreaker. There'd be no other reason to wear a windbreaker in Phoenix when it's, you know, 100, you know, January through December.
I'm sorry, everyone. I lost my cool there for a second.
It happens to the best of us, don't it?
Whew, man.
I mean, Lou, you're the best around. No one's ever going to keep you down.
Thanks, buddy.
That song is now stuck in my head.
I'm sorry about that. Quick, move to the next story.
Next story. Number four. Another winner in this place we call Earth. Also, another one from Oregon. So,
Come on, man. Say it again.
Oregon.
No.
Oregon?
Thank you. If Kimberly listens to this, Ben, I'm going to get emails, text messages, phone calls. Say it right or pay the price. Oregon.
Like pigeon carrier.
I lost the Oregon Trail battle one night when she was here visiting and we got drunk. She just absolutely just put me in my place. It's never, ever, ever Oregon. Ever.
Oregon.
It's Oregon. So,
okay,
go on.
So a woman was accused of setting a blaze for bored firefighters. This Oregon woman...
Very nice. Go on.
Was set afire by throwing a firework out of her car, and it turned into this giant fire, so no surprise there. It consumed 51,000 acres, and it caused people to be evacuated from their homes. Why did she do it? Her firefighter friends were bored. and she figured they could use some work. She bragged about it on Facebook, saying, quote unquote, like my fire. She pleaded guilty. She faces up to 5 years in prison with a fine of $250,000 and 3 years of supervised release.
Now look, I love a good fire as much as the next person. Fire is one of the great mysteries of life. It provides us with warmth, food, blah, blah, blah. It's great. If you are going to set a fire, you need to do it someplace that cannot develop into a wildfire like that, because the penalties are swift and severe. She probably took a plea deal because the alternative was like 10 to 15 years in prison.
I mean, this is literally a person who just wants to watch the world burn.
Yeah, like, seriously, your friends were bored, so you started a fire in a forest? Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you, why wouldn't you set a fire, like, on your property, at your place, if they're bored?
And Smokey the Bear is going to strangle this woman.
And why are you setting fires for firefighters to put out? What's wrong with you? Come on, girl. You know what? I'm gonna be kind of mean about this. She's what I would refer to as a trailer park trash princess. I use that phrase to describe a very specific type of woman. She is the prettiest girl in the trailer park. She's a trailer park trash princess. Would you agree?
That doesn't necessarily mean that she's actually pretty, but she's probably the best looking of them.
That's
so
the
yes.
point, Ben. Yeah, that's the joke, Ben.
Because looking at her, she looks scarier to me than fucking demon out of hell, I want a ride to Los Angeles lady.
No.
Because this girl, she just has that stone cold dead look in her eyes. Look at that. It's terrifying.
Nah, Ben, you could just Ray Rice her. Too soon? Too soon for Ray Rice punching jokes?
Not that it's too soon, I just think that's inappropriate.
I'm inappropriate all the time, Ben. But the reason I bring that up is, this one I feel like I could take in a fight. A demon, you're not going to defeat a demon in a fight. And she has warlock.
Just throw water at her, right? Make her watch that what's his name?
Are you thinking of witches?
Maybe.
I'm thinking of demons, like things that you can only kill with religion if religion was real.
Yeah, what about that one TV evangelist dude?
I could describe a million people. Thinking of anyone in particular, Ben? I want you to pull this, Ben. I don't want to have to tell you who you're thinking of. I know exactly who you're thinking of. You need to pull this.
I think his name is like Joel or something.
His name is Joel?
Yes.
The televangelist whose name is Joel.
Evangelist Joel.
You are kidding.
Joel Osteen, that's who it is.
I've never even heard of Joel Osteen before. Who's that guy?
He's just some Jesus lover thing.
Okay. Well, anyways, that was not where I thought it would go at all.
Who do you think I would say?
I was thinking that you would probably say, now I lost his name, because I was trying to think of who you were talking about was, God, what is this fucking face?
Sam, Billy.
No, not Sam, Billy. The old shitty television televangelist. Oh, for fuck's sake. Billy, fuck it, I don't remember now. I had his name, I could see his face, and now you've ruined me, Ben.
Billy Johnson.
No, it's not Billy Johnson.
Billy Billy Graham, I don't know. Oh, is it Billy Graham?
Billy Graham, thank you, for fuck's sake. God damn it, Billy Graham. That's who I was trying to think of. That was frustrating.
I was looking at other people when he came up.
Oh, God. Billy Graham, and I was just thinking about it while you were talking, and then I lost it, and I couldn't get it back.
We'd have to use Billy Graham on Marilyn, but this lady, I guess we could just... Okay, we could Ray Rice or Chris Brown her, I suppose.
I'm just saying, demons are completely separate from a lady. A woman is, flesh and blood, and yeah, she might shank you a few times. She might kill you in your sleep, or, cut off your feet while you're passed out after a night of drinking. I don't know what women do in their spare time, but what I do know is that I could take her in a fight, and if it came down to it, I think the demon woman would literally suck my soul out through my nostrils using her eye lasers.
It's possible. And we would like to clarify that we do not advocate domestic violence towards women or anybody.
I even prefaced it with, is it too soon to make a Ray Rice joke? It was in jest. We don't in any way condone that. I would never hit a woman unless my life was literally in danger.
Or unless she was a demon.
Even if she was a demon, I would need to know for sure.
Okay, well, if she was, like, biting people's heads off and stood up on the building like a gargoyle.
Sure. Well, speaking of biting people, let's go to story number 5, because we went way off topic there.
Yes,
this is story number power 5.
I mean, we had time. We
I know, we did all right.
So story number, our fifth and final story of this section of Dumb Criminals, because we do have another story after this, is man accused of biting people at Lollapalooza concert. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yep, that is correct. Lollapalooza.
So 33-year-old Sergio Vincentano. Vincentano defied concert etiquette by biting two people at Chicago's Lollapalooza.
Now, Chicago, I don't know that you've ever really been to Chicago, but there is a very strong Jersey Shore aspect and part of Chicago. There's a very strong Italian influence in a lot of Chicago. This dude is like a Goodfellas mobster wannabe fuckhead. I can tell you just by looking at his mugshot. So the fact that this guy's going around biting people during a fucking Arctic Monkeys concert is a little confusing to me. There's a disconnect there for me. The fact that he's at an Arctic Monkeys show in general is puzzling. And then I feel like he would just shoot people if he wanted to inflict pain. Like, that's the type of person I imagine him to be.
And one of the victims that he bit is being tested for hepatitis and HIV and is on antibiotics. So, that is kind of crazy. But apparently also at Lollapalooza, they had a sex doll, dolphin balloons attached to a tree limb, a giant Gary Busey head, giant Nicolas Cage head, and a severed foot, all hoisted on sticks above the crowd.
I mean, the severed foot would only be concerning if it wasn't yours. Like, if I was a cop and I saw the severed foot, I'd go out there and be like, is that yours? And if you said no, then we'd have a problem.
It's not my crack pipe.
That's not my crack pipe.
These are my pants, this is my car, this is my house, but that's not my crack pipe. Don't you just love that about cops?
Yeah, cops are all right.
Well, no, the show Cops.
Oh. Cops is all right.
But, yeah, so basically moral of this story is, don't bite people at a concert. Don't bite people at all, unless you have to defend your life, unless you're being attacked.
And why are you biting people at an Arctic Monkeys concert? Bite people at a death metal concert. Bite people at a hip-hop show. Why are you biting people at the Arctic Monkeys? Like, you should be, like, trying to get all up on a lady and be like, oh, I'm all sensitive. I'm an Italian guy who likes the Arctic Monkeys. What the fuck is wrong with you, man?
Maybe the Arctic Monkeys to him are, like, Slayer to Slayer fans. I don't know.
That would be weird, because I've heard the Arctic Monkeys, and Slayer they are not.
Maybe he has, like, a warped sense of, like, what metal is, as opposed to, like, what, you know, indie rock is.
I think
is.
That a lot of his life is just warped in general.
He's going around biting people.
I mean, I'm not kidding. I'm familiar with the, sort of, the people who are, like, of Italian descent from Chicago, and they are very Jersey Shorey, and it's not a cartoon. It's not a joke. Like, they are very much like that and behave that way on a regular basis. It's very bizarre, and I don't entirely understand it, but it's very real. The threat is real, Ben. The threat is real. Speaking of an unreal threat, let's do some News Chew Rewind, or some Back to the News Chew. 88 miles per hour in our... Ben, what kind of car do you have?
A Dodge Neon.
That is so fucking awesome. 88 miles per hour in our Dodge Neon. To go back to the news chew. Ben, God bless your car for that fucking amazing moment in news chew history. This story comes from January of 2013. Thank you, Ben, for finding this excellent story that my wife would hate to hear about because it involves a waste of cheese.
I think the whole state of Wisconsin would hate to hear about this story.
They'll be upset. The headline reads, Norway goat cheese fire. Hold on. I started laughing before I could get through it. Norway goat cheese fire closes tunnel. A road tunnel in Norway was closed because of 27 tons of caramelized brown goat cheese catching fire in Tysfjord, northern Norway, last week. Ben, were you impressed by my pronunciation of Tysfjord?
Okay, well, I'd actually like to clarify something real quick, if you wouldn't mind.
Please do.
That's tons, actually, 27 tons, which I just converted to pounds. That's 59,000 pounds.
Oh, my apologies. I did read tons, for sure.
It's T-O-N-N-E-S.
27 tons was a lot. Say that number again.
27 tons, in equivalent to pounds, is 59,424 pounds.
Good God.
Yeah.
What kind of vessel was carrying such a quantity of cheese? Was it a submarine?
Five, like just one giant submarine. Was it like a succession of trains with all these carriers of cheese? Like what the hell?
Was it a bullet train full of cheese? What the fuck carries that much cheese? And how did the cheese then catch on fire in such a large vessel?
It just says that the fire raged for 5 days. Smoldering toxic gases were slowing the recovery.
Someone was quoted as saying the cheese is almost like petrol if it gets hot enough. Is that a joke? Can we use cheese as fossil fuel?
I think we can use it for terrorist plots.
Oh, now you've crossed a terrible line. I'm trying to solve this world's energy crisis, Ben. More cows, more cheese equals better cars.
I am just astounded that that's 59,000 pounds worth. What?
Apparently I had to look at a different article of the same story. It was just in one two-tube trailer. That carried that much cheese. Do you know what I'm talking about when I say the two-tubed ones?
Yeah.
That's all it was. That's all it was. And that, it had that much cheese inside of it.
That is astounding to me.
That is fucking bonkers, man. That is out of control.
Yeah, I'm checking other things just to make sure that that's right, because 59,000 seems like a very astronomical number to me.
I mean, but think about it this way, because a trailer, each trailer and chassis, that probably is about 32,000 pounds, give or take, when it's full, when the trailer is full. I'm probably overshooting.
Oh, no, that is 59,000 pounds, or 13 ounces.
So, I mean, and then when you really think about the weight of a trailer and what the load a trailer can carry, maybe that isn't so unrealistic. 30,000 pounds per trailer.
And just for reference, one ton is 2,204 pounds. So, yeah, it is 59,000. That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay, second of all...
I think we're on, fourth or fifth
Yeah.
By now.
How big is this tunnel they're trying to go through?
I mean, it must be... Even if it was a sizable one, Ben, think about the volume of cheese. And they're saying this cheese fire burns as hot as gasoline. You can't let people go in there.
And it never talks about how it caught fire. It just fucking caught fire, and the driver noticed it. Nobody was fortunately hurt in this, but still, it just catches on fire from what?
I wonder if today, because this story is, I mean, it's almost 2 years old. I mean, we're getting close to being 2 years old now. I wonder how that tunnel looks today. I wonder, if you went, you can see the burn marks on the ceiling of the tunnel from the Great Cheese Fire of 2013.
The waste of cheese that it was is just I can just feel that if the state of Wisconsin finds out about this, I just feel this exasperated groan and sigh.
Well, you know what?
And even some
the good
crying.
News, well, no, the good news is that we don't do a lot of goat cheese, I don't think, in Wisconsin. I think goat cheese is someone else's bag. You know, we do more of the dairy-esque cheese, or the cow cheese. We do cow cheese, mostly. So I think Wisconsin would be okay with this. I mean, there is a twinge in my heart a little bit at the thought of all that wasted cheese. Ashley would hate to hear about all the wasted cheese. Man, it would have been sweet to have some fondue in that tunnel. Like, get some bread and some vegetables and you just dip it in the cheese as it burns. Mmm.
Could you imagine those, like, cottage cheese or cream cheese?
Well, I don't think those would... Well, yeah, they might burn, I guess. If this cheese burned... I guess I don't know why those wouldn't burn.
The head of the Norwegian Public Roads Administration, I'm not going to try to pronounce his name, he goes, quote, "I didn't know that brown cheese burns so well," end quote. Well, now you do.
I'm gonna try to pronounce his name. I think it's Kjell Bjørn Vien.
That's probably right. I don't know Norwegian
names.
So
his name is Kjell.
Kjell.
Like how Cartman pronounces Kyle's name on South Park. Kjell.
Kjell. Oh, so Mr. South Park. Well, hold on that.
Sorry about that. I still like South Park, and I'm not ashamed. I started watching South Park from the first season when I was a kid. I found it funny then. I still find it funny today. I grew with the show, as it were. I still like South Park, and I will apologize to no one for this fact.
Don't need to. I mean, I've watched bits and pieces of South Park. I think the most South Park I ever watched was when I was up at your house
a couple months ago. It's a wonderful television program.
They had the Christmas episode, and that was a ride.
It's fun. And the movie is breathtaking. The South Park movie is one...
Oh, I've actually seen the South Park
movie. Yeah, the South Park movie is one of the greatest comedies of all time. Bar none. It's just so fucking funny. Anyways. I hate cheese fires, for the record. I just don't like them. I don't approve of them. I don't believe in their lifestyle, Ben.
I mean, even if you don't eat goat cheese, it's just the waste.
You know what, though? What's interesting is if this would have happened in Germany, they probably would have ate it, because there's this amazing dish, and I can't think of the name of it, but it's essentially a flaming cheese. So it's like a cheese that they put in this dish, and then they dump brandy over the top of it, and they, like, burn and crisp the top of it, and then you scoop it out, and you serve it on bread. And I won't lie to you, I, for the life of me, cannot think of the name of it, and I'm too lazy to look it up. It's the most delicious shit you've ever had. It's so goddamn good. Fiery cheese is where it's at. And it's something that, I think it's a German thing, or, oh no, you know what? I think I'm wrong. It might be like a Greek thing, now that I'm thinking about it. Hold on.
You know what?
I'm just going to type in flaming cheese and see what happens. Let's play a fun game called What Does Google Say About Flaming Cheese?
When that guy got back to, you know, work, or, you know, his boss found out about all the cheese that was, you know, wasted, you know, he goes, "How are you feeling?" He goes, "Well, I'm probably not feeling," he goes, "I'm not feeling great."
Yeah, I would imagine not. Ah. Here we go. There it is, flaming cheese. It pulls up right away. It's called Saganaki, and it's Greek. It's insane. It's just cheese. It's just fried cheese. That's it. It's delicious. Saganaki. If you ever get a chance, Ben, Saganaki is where it's at, man.
Saganaki, I will have to keep that in mind.
Indeed. And then you, too, can feel like a Norwegian, traffic tunnel.
I mean, you better believe it.
It's good. It's good to eat flaming cheese.
It's Gouda?
It's very, very Gouda. Yeah.
I mean...
Gouda cheese, though. I don't want you to eat it.
It's
actually, there's no Gouda cheese involved.
He was probably, when he was going to the store, I mean, now the stores won't get the goat cheese, and he goes, "Well, it's not Joe cheese anymore."
Yeah.
I've been making cheese puns the entire time, and either you've been ignoring them, or you just did not pick up on
them. You know what,
Ben?
Here's what happened. The moment that I realized that people were listening by searching for cow puns, I realized that I just maybe need to let your puns happen, because obviously you've struck some sort of chord with some sort of underground culture of people who love fucking puns, and so it's better for me to just swallow your puns ingest them because, let's be real, I think they're keeping the show afloat.
that's what's keeping us going, or my puns.
I don't know how to explain it, but I feel like there's some sort of correlation between your puns and the success we've been having lately. So I have to just take what you're doing right now as part of your craft. It's what you bring to the stew that is our show. I just have to start ingesting it. But there will be times, Ben, oh, there will be times where I will not be so pleased with your puns. These are actually pretty good. These cheese puns are okay. They work. They're like cow puns.
Well, you know what I gotta do, though?
What's that?
The people that didn't like my puns, I'm just gonna get that dirt off my shoulder now. I'm just gonna shake those hairs off because my puns are...
They're reaching someone, Ben. They're reaching someone.
You know, when I said that, I was actually shaking off my shoulders.
Oh, I see. Yeah. You were like Parmesan cheesing your dressing. You were shaking. It's a cheese.
I think I should do some puns.
Yeah, it's probably for the best. We've established this before.
Well, so that's pretty much our story this week. Stories this week, and we're sticking to them. So you can find us on Twitter at The News Chew. You can find us on Facebook, The News Chew with Ben and Lou. And email us your stories, thoughts, ideas, comments about the show. I mean, you can let us know certainly on Facebook and Twitter, but you can email that to us at newschewwithbenandlou@gmail.com. Lou, do you have any parting words for this week?
Please keep sending us articles. It's really great to know that, you know, our friends and people that we know are listening. And I this week, you know, we got some of the articles that we talked about were sent to me. And so that's really awesome. And some of them, you know, we can't use all of them. We try to put together what we think is the best show. And trust me, we sift through, Kimberly can attest, we sift through tons and tons and tons and tons of stories. There's a method to our madness, I assure you. But thank you. Please keep sending them. I love reading them. It makes my week awesome getting to read shit that people send me. So please keep sending them.
All right. And for Lou, I am Ben, and keep listening to us and stay tuned for next week.